The Jordan Cove Liquefied Natural Gas Export Terminal planned for Coos Bay faces a number of levels of regulatory approval. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, recently put out a draft environmental impact statement. There's another acronym, DEIS. And it showed a fairly positive picture of the project. It is no little project, though. Jordan Cove not only calls for the liquefaction and export terminal at Coos Bay, it calls for a long gas pipeline to carry gas through that to that terminal across southwestern Oregon. FERC plans public meetings to take input on the terminal and pipeline plans and the environmental impact statement. Today's guests plan to speak out against. Alan Journay joins us once again from Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, where he's the co-facilitator. Welcome back, Alan.
Thanks very much indeed for inviting us. Appreciate it.
Robin Jansen is back as well. She is the Clean Water Campaigner for the Rogue Riverkeeper Program. Welcome back, Robin.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
So explain the process as best either of you understand that. I mean, FERC is out with the draft EIS, but now there are many additional steps in the process, are there not?
That's correct, yeah. So they released the DEIS, and that basically opens a 90-day public comment period, which public can get involved and read the 5,000-page document if they like, or just pick out certain parts of it that may be concerns of theirs, and then submit comments, attend the hearings, and testify at the hearings as well. So that's what we're doing, a lot of organizing around that.
Written comments are due by February the 13th, but oral comments, of course, are due December the 11th.
On the spot.
And the local one.
Right. Well, yeah, and the one for Medford. I should point out the list right now. It's a December 8th, Monday, at the Hales Performing Arts Center at SWOC in Coos Bay. December 9th, these are all at 6 p.m. at Umpqua Community College's Lang Center in Roseburg. December 10th at Seven Feathers in Canyonville. December 11th at Central Medford High School. December 12th at Oregon Institute of Technology in Klamath Falls. And December 13th at Malin Community Hall in Malin. And that is the very area where the pipeline is supposed to begin on its way to Coos Bay, if in fact it is built. Robin, you mentioned knowing the number of pages of the DEIS, 5,000. Have you had a chance to peruse it a great deal at this point?
I've looked through some of it. I can't say that I've read the whole thing. It's two giant documents that we have sitting on our desk. But there's a lot of folks sifting through it right now and reading over the areas that definitely pertain to us at Rogue Riverkeeper, the water issues and impacts on our river and watershed. So, so we're sifting through that as fast as we can before the hearings next week. So
your major concern is the traversing of the river by the pipeline, should it be built?
Traversing of mostly the side streams and tributaries, because what they would do is they basically cut right into the riverbed and then put the pipe through there and then kind of fill it back up again and then continue it on. It will pass underneath the Rogue River, so they actually drill deep down into the bedrock.
Yeah, I think it's about 50 or 60 feet under the river.
Yeah, it's pretty far down.
Pass under the river.
So, you know, hopefully if they were to do that right, that doesn't have a huge impact, but nobody knows for sure if, you know, that will fracture the bedrock and then there's leaks and all that kind of stuff. But it definitely will impact the smaller tributary streams a lot more.
All right, you're both conservation type groups, but with different focuses. Obviously, Rogue Riverkeeper focuses on water quality. What's the beef of the folks at Southern Oregon Climate Action Now about the project? And what's the general interpretation of the DEIS?
Well, I did run through the DEIS. The 5,000 pages does include a lot of pages of appendix, and I didn't go through all the appendices, but I went through the body of the report. Our main concern is the following. If we acknowledge that we should limit global warming to 2 degrees centigrade, 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels, as international agreements have stated, we have to recognize the math, and the math are pretty clear. The math tell us that we can only release so much more carbon dioxide and equivalent greenhouse gases into the atmosphere before we have emitted so much that 2 degrees centigrade is inevitable. At the rate at which we are currently emitting greenhouse gases, we have about 13 to 14 years, less if we follow the general trajectory that we seem to be following, the business as usual trajectory of increasing emissions, then it's fewer years. And I put it in the following context. Kathy and I have a one-year-old grandson. By the time little Ryan is 16 or 17 years old, we as a planet have to be totally weaned from fossil fuels. What we have to do, I submit, is evaluate every project that comes before us collectively and everything we do individually in light of that urgent reality. And what that means is we should be trying to minimize our emissions of greenhouse gases, not encourage them. The problem is it doesn't matter where this natural gas is burned, whether it's in the United States, Canada, or in Asia. And the whole point of Jordan Cove and the Pacific Connector Pipeline is export. It doesn't matter where this natural gas is burned, it's contributing to a global problem, and we're all paying the price.
Which is an interesting point in itself, and let me just take an aside here, because environmental impact statements consider current environmental law, which I think you're trying to point out here, doesn't make any real provision for what might happen to the climate 16 years down the road.
Interestingly, the report itself acknowledges that this project will contribute to greenhouse gas emissions, but then it says, well, we don't know how much of a contribution this is going to make to global warming, so we won't consider it. And yet when you look at the FERC's DEIS itself, you realize that they are required by their own statement of expectations to evaluate the impact of that project on air quality. The Supreme Court has said greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, is an air quality issue. So the FERC should be looking at this issue. They shouldn't just be dismissing it. We have a problem that what they seem to be doing is, rather than evaluating the project in terms of the public good, they're looking at ways to exempt Jordan Cove and Pacific Connector from the requirements that should be imposed on them and allow them to do something which clearly is against public interest.
Alan Journay from Southern Oregon Climate Action Now and Robin Jansen from Rogue River Keeper are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, talking about the Jordan Cove Natural Gas Terminal and the Pacific Connector Pipeline proposed to go to it, and the process of public hearings coming up. We'll give the addresses and the days again coming up. But you can join us right here and now on the Jefferson Exchange if you'd like to share thoughts with Alan and Robin. 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org if you prefer email. So how many different tributary streams are we talking about to the Rogue River potentially that would be crossed by the pipeline? And is there a specific route chosen yet?
There's definitely a route chosen already, and total streams and rivers is 400, the whole 230 miles of the pipeline. So it's quite a few, and, you know, major rivers are the Klamath, the Rogue, the Umpqua, the Coquille, and the Coos, I believe.
The Estuary.
What's that?
The Estuary.
Yeah.
All right, so the estuary itself would be crossed.
Yeah, so there's a lot of them. There's a good deal.
And the major concern is it a situation for Rogue River Keeper that if the route were different, or if the crossings were different, or something about this plan were different, you might find less to dislike about it or more to like about it? I don't know how to really phrase that.
Right. Well, potentially. I mean, that is our main concern, and that's why we got involved in the beginning and continued to really fight this project and have sort of been one of the only groups fighting it and opposing it in Southern Oregon until now, in the last year or so, I would say, because there's been a lot more activity and partnerships and whatnot. If it didn't cross any rivers or streams, we might have a different opinion, but I think we'd probably still be involved simply as concerned citizens in Southern Oregon, for sure.
So the hearing, and are these called hearings, or are they called public meetings?
Hearings.
Yeah, they're hearings. All right. So they're actually taking testimony. So this will be at the one in Medford that you're marshaling forces to come out to is December 11th, which will be a week from tonight at 6 o'clock at Central Medford High School. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about in the auditorium at what used to be South Medford High School?
I think that's correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a very big room.
It is.
It's a big room. Hundreds.
some belief that you might be able to get a room full of people in there talking about Jordan Cove and the pipeline?
We think so. We've been doing a lot of organizing, a lot of reaching out to our constituents and supporters, and everybody, I would say the majority of the folks we've talked to, are really concerned about this project. Definitely want to show up, definitely want to speak and voice their concerns. We're also, I just wanted to mention, we're going to hold a rally beforehand at 5 o'clock, just a fun, peaceful, friendly rally. And we'd love for folks to come out and just show their concern and opposition for the project if that's how they feel. Because more importantly for these hearings, at least, FERC's going to listen, sort of, not really. But for us, it's more just a show of Southern Oregon standing up and voicing their concerns so that our representatives and the rest of the state pay attention.
That's an interesting statement, though. FERC is going to listen, but not really.
Well, I would hope they will. The key idea is there is this 90-day period for comments, and then what's supposed to happen is that FERC goes back to their DEIS and review it in light of the comments. Mm-hmm. And then
you get an FEIS.
The final EIS,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be what happens.
Right.
I've been through a lot of these things before, and the thing that concerns me is it seems, and this is the point I was just making, it seems as though this regulatory agency, which is supposed to be evaluating projects in terms of their contribution to the public good, mm-hmm. seems to be focusing not on that, but on what can we do to allow it to go forward, which seems to me entirely the wrong approach. It's like that rope, you've heard about the revolving door, how people from business get into the regulatory agencies and all they do is facilitate business exemptions for issues like the Endangered Species Act. And we should be, and this is what we're doing, we're standing up and saying, no, that's not the right way that this should be happening. We are in an urgent situation. We should not be conducting business as usual, either in the emissions of greenhouse gases or in the way we conduct regulatory activities.
We have a few moments left talking about the Jordan Cove project and the Pacific Connector gas pipeline and the plans for those with Alan Journay and Robin Jansen. Alan is with Southern Oregon Climate Action Now. Robin is with Rogue Riverkeeper. You may join us at 800-838-3760 in the minutes we have left, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You'd mentioned being able to marshal support pretty easily, Robin. I mean, is everybody pretty much aware of the project? It seems like you say Jordan Cove or the gas pipeline, mm-hmm. one of those terms, and people instantly know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I would say there's probably still quite a few folks that don't know what is going on and haven't heard about it. But I think more and more, recently, since the DEIS has been released, most folks are aware of it at least and concerned about it. But that's what we've found at least. So
one of the rationales given for it, which I'm sure will be heard at any or all of these hearings coming up, is the case for jobs. That this is an economic development thing, that people mm-hmm. will get a chance to work on the pipeline. There'll be good construction jobs that pay well. A couple of political figures in the election just concluded came out in favor of the pipeline and surprised a few people because they said it was a jobs thing. How do you respond to that?
My response to that is when you actually look at the numbers, the number of jobs is very small. They'll be pulling in a lot of folks from out of the area. So the number of local jobs is very small. And when the pipeline is finished, I can't remember, but it's really amazingly small. And yet, in contrast, what we find, and we get the same thing with pretty much all fossil fuels, the employment possibilities with promoting renewable energy are so much greater than they are with fossil fuels. And on top of that, they're local. What we're looking at here is mainly what's happening with this pipeline is mainly natural gas executives are going to be rolling in money. That's where the benefit's going largely. The cost is being paid by everybody on the planet. And that just doesn't seem to me right. We should not be allowing that to continue.
One of the concerns, obviously, too, with the natural gas that flows through this pipeline is it comes from sources that are quite often fracked. And I imagine, Robin,
exactly.
you've been in touch with other Riverkeeper or Baykeeper or mm-hmm. the general waterkeeper kinds of programs to hear some stories from further east about where this gas is coming from.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge concern. And that's actually another big piece of the DEIS that they haven't brought that into the report.
It's beyond
the report.
The scope of the physical territory.
But
yeah.
it's not. That's the key. We constantly have the problem that federal or state agencies that are looking at issues will say, we wish we could looked at that, but it's not within our frame of reference. It's not one of the issues.
Insist it is.
It is.
Yeah.
When you look at their own DEIS, they say it is. They are allowed to look at collateral activities where the in this case where the the natural gas is coming from, what the impact of that is on the environment, human health.
So again, this is a major water quality issue as well as anything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and the energy companies themselves, I mean, you can find it on their websites. It says this will increase fracking, period, in Canada, in the Rockies. So not only is this going to affect our communities, you know, here at home, it's affecting a lot of other communities in really, really serious ways. And I think pretty much everybody knows what fracking is now. And and I think most people are pretty concerned about it because of the impacts to water and water use and, all a host of other things.
Didn't come to talk about fracking, but yes, that is a real problem.
Yeah.
And part of this overall picture, and I should point out, this is the second gas pipeline that's been talked about. The other one completed years ago from also, I believe, Malin to the greater Medford area to provide a second pathway for natural gas to get to gas customers in the Rogue Valley. And I remember some real dust-ups with landowners about that. Are you talking, Robin, to landowners about their feelings about pipelines coming across their property?
We are, yeah. We talked to a number of them, and most of them are very concerned and very... definitely don't want this to come through their property. They're standing up against it. So that's where the point of eminent domain is getting kind of thrown around a lot, and people are really concerned about that and really worried about the companies using that as a way to get the pipeline through. So
yeah, should we be taking people's property in order to destroy the planet? Is there any sane way in which we should be allowing that to happen?
Yeah, well, and not being for the public good for Southern Oregon communities, we're just sending this gas overseas, and it's not coming to help any of us or
which is always an interesting wrinkle in this that Jordan Cove was originally envisioned as an import terminal, and then when the fracking boom took off, it was completely reversed and turned into an export terminal.
Yeah,
with the pipeline flowing in the other direction. So the hearings again, December 8th at the Hale Performing Arts Center at Swauk and Coos Bay, December 9th at Umpqua Community College's Lang Center in Roseburg, December 10th at Seven Feathers in Canyonville, December 11th at Central Medford High School. That's the one where Robin and Alan will probably be attending. December 12th at Oregon Institute of Technology's College Union Auditorium in Klamath Falls, and December 13th at Malin Community Hall in Malin. We have these all listed on our website, jeffexchange.org. I want to thank both Robin and Alan for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you both here.
Thank you so
very much.